You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Samuel. We'll let the orchestra and the pastors come down. And Pastor Asparelli, we are so glad you and your wife are here today in our church. We're thankful for you. You're a great man of God, one of our graduates, he and his wife. And Dotun, I understand your dad is here from the East Coast, and I want to meet you afterwards. Glad to have you here tonight, Dad. God bless you. Was he a good boy growing up, or was he a naughty boy? A naughty boy, right? No? All right. Thank you for being in church tonight. And I know it's summer and we have so many vacationers that are gone, but this is a great crowd up in the balcony and the lower floor, and I thank God for all of you. The story we're about to read in 1 Samuel chapter 26 is where Saul, who is the king, he is hunting David, who was like a son to him. He tried to kill him once already. Now he's trying to kill him again. He's hunting for him. David's hiding in caves. David's hiding behind bushes. David's hiding everywhere. One night, God put a deep sleep upon Saul and his men. And Abner was there, who was to guard King Saul, that no evil would happen. But David and his man, Abishai, went in. They went into where he was staying, and they took his spear and his bolster was a cruse of water. And he took it and he left. Then he was so convicted because he said, I have touched God's anointed. I mean, here is Saul trying to kill David, and David feels bad because he said, I took something from him. I should not have done that. Well, the next morning, David yells up, hey, Saul! Saul! And Saul said, is that David's voice? Is that David's voice I'm hearing? And he's excited because he's finally got his enemy. And he said, I want you to know that I came and took your spear last night and took your cruse of water. He looked and they were missing. Abner should have to die for this failure. And Saul said something that's our message tonight. Let's begin in chapter 26, please. In chapter 26, the Bible says, in verse number 3, David abode in the wilderness. He saw that Saul was come after him into the wilderness. And David, it's verse 7, and Abishai came to the people by night. Behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Abishai said to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not. For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Verse 11, the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. Verse 12, so David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and he got him away. No man saw it nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon him. David went over to the top of the other side, stood on the top of a hill far off, a great space between them. David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, answer thou not, Abner. Then Abner answered the king, who art thou that cries to the king? And David said to Abner, art thou not a valiant man? Who is like thee into Israel? Wherefore hast thou not kept the Lord thy king? For there came one of the people and destroyed the king, the Lord. And this is not good that ye have done. The Lord liveth, and ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And Saul knew David's voice. This is the voice of my son, my Lord, O king. And he said, wherefore My Lord doth pursue after his servant. For what have I done? What evil is in my hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my Lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. Verse number 20, now therefore let him not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. In other words, David said, don't kill me. Israel has come out, it's come out to seek a flea. I'm like a flea, one that hunteth a partridge in the mountains. And Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son David. I will do thee no more harm, because my soul is precious in thy sight. This day, behold, here's our message. I have played the fool. I have played the fool. You know, your pastor, as long as Miss Treber and I have been here 50 years now, I've seen a lot of people play the fool. What they thought they wanted, they got, and they lost everything they had. I've watched people quit on God. I've watched people quit on church. I've watched people quit on the Bible. I've watched people ruin their lives and wind up a life sentence in jail. I've watched some that because of unconfessed sin, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. I've seen a lot of premature deaths. Because we're not right with God, we played the fool. Don't play the fool tonight. Don't be a foolish person. Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Brother Fromm, old graduate of our college, is clinging for his life tonight. He's already had his arm removed this week. He hasn't been awake now in 8 days. I don't know if he's going to make it or not. His wife is probably listening right now. We're praying for her and her boys. We're just so burdened for them. It looks very grave tonight. We had another member just today, this afternoon, pass away just suddenly. Had a heart attack this morning. I pastored her for years. Now she's gone for eternity. You have one life, one time to live. Perhaps tonight's the night you're supposed to get saved. I think of a great crowd like this in this lower floor, and how people have invited you to come, and you're here as a guest, you're here as a member of this church, but you've never been saved. And it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Brother Martinez is our hospital pastor. We're dealing with death all the time. We're dealing with people that are still young, that are struggling to live life. And perhaps this week, God's going to take some of our people home to be in his presence. They'll not have an opportunity to serve God again. Perhaps this is your last, this is your last time to be in the house of God. Perhaps this is your last time to be in God's house tonight. You're young. You think you have your life ahead of you, but you don't know about a random bullet this week. You don't know about a car accident this week. You don't know about cancer that's going to invade your life and take you out of life. You don't know all that's ahead, a stroke or MS. You don't know, but I do know this. Don't play the fool while you have the opportunity to live in righteousness. Our Father, tonight, bless the message that I preach in these few moments we're together. I think of Saul, and Saul in the Old Testament started off so right, and his life ended so bad. I think of Saul in the New Testament. He started so bad and ended so right. God help us to have a great start and live for thee a lifetime. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn back with me to chapter number 9, please. In chapter number 9, as we look at this subject, I have played the fool. This man had a great start in life. Look what the Bible says in chapter 9, verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin. Benjamin was the supreme tribe. You were special if you were a Benjamite. And here's a man, and his name was Kish. Kish is the daddy to Saul. His boy is going to be king in time. But the Bible says he was a Benjamite. Do you know that Saul's life his family. He started with a great family. How's your family tonight? I'm talking to you young people tonight. You teenagers. Well, my mom, she's so religious. My dad, he's so this. My mom, hey, why are you complaining about your parents? You know, I talk almost every week. I think perhaps every week. I was talking to a man this past week, and he was raised in a home where the dad and the stepdad just beat him. Just beat him. I don't think any one of your children have been beat by a parent, but would beat him. I was talking to a man on the project this week. He's a foreman on the project for a large steel company. And he came out and he was talking there. And Brother Remus and I talked to him. And he said, you know, I came to this church, rode the buses years ago. And my wife rode the buses. That happens every day or every week of my life. I talked to people, said, I rode the bus. We've had 1.6 million ride the bus in 50 years. I rode the bus to Sunday school here at this church. He said, then I messed my life up, but I went to prison. But I married the girl that rode the bus. We have a family. And you know, that man has made something out of his horrid past. Here he had a terrible past. He started right. He got saved. But then he went wrong. But now he's the foreman on the job. Hey, young people, stop complaining about your parents. I think of the parents God has given to you and how God has blessed you with a father or with a mother or perhaps even both. Or perhaps you don't have a family. You live with your grandparents or your aunt or uncle or a foster home. But God's given you somebody that loves you. Amen. Love your family. I have failed so much in life. I look at 50 years of ministry and I look back, honey, I have failed this church so often. So many regrets in my life. But one regret I don't have was how I treated my parents that sat right there for 33 years. I had a wonderful father. I had a wonderful mother. She's been gone 10 years. She's been gone 8. They're laid to rest. And I'll tell you, when I lost my mom, when I lost my dad, it was a very hard, hard time in my life. But I could look at my mother in that coffin. I could look at my dad in that coffin, his chubby little fingers, his missing thumb with an accident on the farm when he was a boy. I used to play with that stub when I was in church. I'd play with that stub and I'd think, boy, I wish I had a thumb like this. Well, I was a crazy kid. My dad was the best Christian I ever met in my life. I have no excuse for my life. But you know, I can look at them in that casket and think, I never cost my mom one sleepless night of prayer. Not one night. She never had to pray that my wandering son would come back to God as a prodigal. She never had to pray that I give up drink or booze or drugs. She never had to pray for that. I had a great home. And most of you kids, if not all of you kids, have a great home. Don't fight against your parents. Love your parents. Oh, he had a great home, great family. Look at verse 2. He had a great physique. He had a son whose name was Saul. A choice young man, a goodly. There's not the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From the shoulders upward, he was higher than any of the people. This man was not only from a great family, but he had a great physique. A lot of times we think, boy, that guy's going to do something. Look at how tall and how handsome he is. Napoleon was 4'9" or 4'10". He was a short little guy, but he conquered the world. The Apostle Paul, that wrote most of the Bible, was 4'8", we're told by historians. He was a short little guy. God can use short people. God can use tall people. But what a physique. There was not a goodlier person than Saul. He looked so awesome. Everything was great. And today, you may have everything going for you, young people. You might be smart. You might be intelligent. You might be athletic. You might have a great computer mind. You may have this or you may have that. But don't depend on what God, the tools God has given you. Depend upon God. Here's a man from a great family. Here's a man with great physique. Here's a man, chapter 9, verse number 5, with a great, great decision. He sought out God's man. The Bible says, verse 5, when they come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come, let us return. Let my father leave caring for the asses and take thought of us." And he said unto him, "Behold now, here it is. There is in this city a man of God. He is an honorable man. And he cometh surely. He can show us our way." The apostle, the king Saul, he said, "You know, there's a man of God in this city. We need help. And that man of God can show us the right way." Amen. I don't know. I believe God's going to give me health to pastor this church for many years. Yes. But I do believe that one day you'll get a new pastor. And I'll tell you this. You have had a pastor for 50 years that's tried to be a man of God. I've tried to do right by you. I've tried to listen to you. I've tried to pray for you. I've tried to be there for you. And get a man that loves the people of God. Get a man that loves North Valley Baptist Church more than he loves himself. Get a man of God. And here he said, I've got this great man in this city. He can help us. You know, your pastor can help you. We have all these pastors here in our church. You know, these pastors that God has given to serve with me here, they can help you. They can steady your life. You're battling with drugs, they can help you. You battle with alcohol, they can help you. You battle with your marriage, they can help you. You battle with finances, they can help you. We have so many women of God in this church, Titus chapter 2, and ancient women, and we have so many good godly deacons' wife and staff ladies. These ladies can help you. Get help with your life. And here's a man, and he said, I need help. Get me to the man of God. And he found a man of God. I find he was a man with a great family. I find he was a man with a great physique. I find he was a man that sought a great man of God. I find in chapter 10, verse 1, he was a man with a great calling. Then Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it upon his head. And he kissed him and said, "Is this not because the Lord hath anointed him to be captain over all the inheritance?" Everything is going well for Saul. Everything. His mom and dad, tribe of Benjamin, his siblings. He sought a man of God. He had a great physique. Everything was great. He started off so right. And now he's got a great calling. God anoints him. And the Spirit of God, verse 6, "The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee. And thou shalt prophesy with him, and thou shalt be turned into another man." I'm going to turn you into a man of God. You're going to be turned. Your heart is going to be turned. Look at verse number 9. "And so it was when he had turned back from Samuel, God gave him another heart." Some of you young boys, you're looking for a Bible college. Look for a college where your heart can be changed. I thank God for the head. But our primary duty at Golden State Baptist College is not to educate the head. It's to educate the heart. We have a reputation all over this country that if you want a good Bible college that puts heart in young people, go to Golden State. They'll put a heart for people. They'll put a heart for souls. They'll put a heart for this word and the word of God. And pastors come in and teach, and our faculty come in and teach. It's a heart for God. God gave them a new heart. But here's our message, and I'll be done. The sad thing is, he made a poor decision. Chapter 13. In chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, we find the self-will of Saul. And his self-will, he smote the Philistines. And then verse number 8, he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal. And Saul said, bring hither the burnt offerings to me. Saul was king. He had no business offering burnt offerings to God. That was the priest's responsibility. But he said, Samuel's not here. I don't know where he is. Let me just take care of it. And it came to pass, as soon as he made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. He did wrong. Verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done, what's the word? Foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of God. God wants you to do right, Saul, and you've done wrong. Look at chapter 15. In chapter 15, the Bible says in verse number 3, now go utterly smite Amalek and destroy all that they have and spare them not. Slay both the man and woman and infant and suckling and ox and sheep and ass and camel. Slay them all. And verse number 8, he did exactly that. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. God said to kill him. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the best of the ox and the best of the fatling. And the word of the Lord came unto Samuel saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he's turned his back from following me, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And verse number 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and blessed be the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Here is Saul and said, I did what God told me to do. No, 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 you're lying. You're not telling the truth. You did not do it. You spared Agag. You spared the sheep. You spared the oxen. You spared the cattle. No, you did not. And the Bible goes on to say, verse 14, and Samuel said, what mean the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And they brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep. And Samuel, verse 17, says, when thou wast little in thy sight, thou wast not made the head of the tribe of Israel. The Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent unto thee on a journey, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites. You know, he just did not obey God. He got to the point where he thought he could do his own thing. I wonder if you're there tonight. I wonder if you're at the point, I've got my own religion, I've got my own ways, I've got my own ideas, I've got my own philosophy, how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, I know how I'm going to do things, I know how to do my business, but are you doing it God's way?
Amen.
That's what God wants in your life. We go to our chapter 26, way toward the end, and God's word says that Saul figured out, I have played the fool. I've played the fool. I've erred exceedingly. He played the fool. I got a letter from the jail cell in Colorado yesterday. The dearest friend I have. He's there for life. You know what? He made a sinful, wicked decision. He played the fool. As a result of his sin, his wife divorced him immediately after 40 years plus of marriage. He will die in prison. I have played the fool. There are so many people in our church that you're messed up on drink and drugs. You're playing the fool. There has to come a point when you just die to self. You just die to self, and if we're not careful, we blame everybody else. No, blame yourself.
Amen.
Look to yourself. Get right with God. And say, I have played the fool. I have done this. You get to the end of the chapter 31, and Saul is up on Mount Gilboa. There's a war that's been waged, and his three boys are with him there. And the Bible says an Amalekite came. Remember the Amalekites? God said to kill them. An Amalekite came and he killed Jonathan, his son, David's best friend. He killed his boys and he killed King Saul. That which he would not obey God, God used to destroy his life. How about your life today? I think of the scripture before us. He disrespected the people of God. He disrespected the seer, the Samuel, the man of God. He disrespected David. He hunted him. He disrespected his family, his heritage. Jails are full of people that have played the fool. This week, courtrooms are going to be filled with men and women that have played the fool. They have just played the fool, and a judge is going to throw the book at them. Taverns are full tonight of people that are playing the fool. Wall Street will have people that are playing the fool. Don't play the fool.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.